come back here so I can preach as long as I want to, right? I'm teasing. Ezekiel 16. I'm just teasing. Ezekiel 16. All right. I hope you carry your Bible, and I hope you got a King James Bible. And there are reasons that I say that. And we don't need to dumb down the Word of God. We don't need to do that. And anytime you retranslate something, you have the possibility of mistranslating because it wasn't ordered by God. And so I say, this has worked for over 400 years. Why do you want to change now? Amen. Ezekiel 16. Look, if you will, at verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, calls Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine own blood, live. Skip to verse 9. He says, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. You see that? Skip down to verse 13. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou was exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou distrust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast taken also thy fair jewels, and my gold, and my silver, which I have given thee, and madest thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. You see that? Now, I want you to notice, and we're going to talk about a deserted baby today. Amen. Amen. God told Ezekiel, he said, you speak to Jerusalem. And you cause them to know their abomination, their wickedness, what they've done against God, an abomination. They've done things that were abominable to God, toward his spirit and his will. He said, you go down there and you tell them where they come from. You remind them where they come from, where I found them. Remind them of their ancestry, people who were not great people. And said, then you tell them, when you were born, the world cast you out into the wilderness, covered with your own blood. They didn't even care enough about you to cut your navel and tie it up. They didn't care enough about you to give you a wash in salt water to get all that stuff off of you. They didn't garment you. They didn't cover you. They didn't love you. I did. He said, I walked by and I saw you out there, and I looked at the nation of Israel, and I said, live. Live. And you were dead. And I gave you life. Boy, there's so much in that story. He reminded them what he had done. And I'd like to take this and show you how we're so much like Israel.
Amen. Come on now. Yeah.
And let me tell you something. You didn't find God. God found you.
Right.
They wasn't looking for God. God intervened in their life. And I get tired of people saying, well, when I found Jesus, you wasn't even looking. You might have found something, but it wasn't God. Amen.
Come on now. Yeah.
And today I'd like to rehearse just a couple things. Number one, look at verse 6. In verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. We're polluted in our blood.
Right.
We're descendants of Adam, and we have his polluted blood within us. Amen? And then he said, I saw you in your own polluted blood. And I said unto thee, when thou was cast in thy blood, live. And I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. He reminded them their past. He reminded them, he found them. And because of that, he had mercy on them. And he cleaned them up. And he rescued them. And it's all the grace of God and the mercy of God and the compassion of God that he took that little nation Israel and he turned the world upside down through that little nation Israel, who did not come from a great ancestry. There were no Egyptian princes in their ancestry. There were no Roman Caesars in their ancestry. They were just common people, and God picked them up and cleaned them up and washed them from their sins, and he mounted them up and he established their going forth, and he made the greatest nation that the world has ever seen out of that little strip of land called Israel.
Amen.
And by the way, it still is.
Yes, it is.
And he's never left them. And he's never forsook them, even though they have him. And right now, the nation of Israel is one of the most powerful, respected nations on planet Earth. And God did that. God did that. Even in their rebellion, God still does it. Amen? Turn to Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10, we'll liken it unto us in Romans 5:10. He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Colossians 1:21 says this. He says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He did the same thing for us. He found us. Amen?
Amen.
He had mercy on us. Mercy means something you don't deserve. Amen? He had mercy on us. He didn't give us what we deserve. He cleaned us.
Yes, he did.
We never have a right to stand up and say, I used to be a drunkard, I'm not anymore. We have the right to stand up and say, I used to be a drunkard and God saved me and delivered me.
Amen.
It's by the grace of God, I'm not a pervert. Amen? It's by the grace of God, I'm not a drug addict. It's by the grace of God, I got enough sense to hold down a job and pay my debts and have my youngest food on the table. He found us. He had mercy on us. He cleaned us up. He picked us up.
Amen.
He found every one of you. And I know some of you grew up in good homes, had good families and stuff. A lot of us didn't. But let me tell you something. He picked you up. And put you on the path that you're on today. Your family didn't do that. Now thank God for good families. Thank God for good parents and grandparents. But only God can pick up a sinner and clean them up and establish their path and pick them up and put them on that. And then he covered us. You see, when the world looks at us, they see somebody just like them. But when God looks at us, he looks at us as an adopted child that he found out there in the wilderness of sin, covered in our own filth of sin.
Right.
And he sees a child that he adopted. He picked them up. He washed them. He cleaned them. He raised them. And that's how he sees a child of God. The world doesn't see that. See?
Come on now. Yep.
And that's what Ezekiel was telling Israel. You didn't do this. God did this. You're not prosperous because you're smarter than everybody else. God has prospered you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, help me, folks.
Amen.
It takes an ungrateful person not to praise the Lord for where Amen. He found us and what he did for us. Amen?
Yeah.
And then I want you to notice verse 9. Ezekiel 16, verse 9. He said, "Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil." Did you know what? You know what he did? He put us, he washed us, and then he put us under his protection. You see, in the Bible, oil represents the Holy Spirit. And he didn't just wash us from our sins, he put his Holy Spirit in us. And then he said, "I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of days." Now, he didn't say you wouldn't forsake him. He didn't say you'd never leave him, because we do. Come on, help me. Just like Israel, he found us dirty and rotten, picked us up, cleaned us up, put us on the right path, saved us, he keeps us, he preserves us, but that's not us. We'll get off the path sometimes, and he has to spank us a little bit, he has to whip us a little bit, and keep us on the straight and narrow, and God does that. We take no credit for being right with God.
Amen.
One thing I can't stand is the Pharisee who thinks they're better than everybody else because they think that they're doing everything just right when they started off wrong in the first place with something called pride.
Come on, brother. Yeah.
It took us a long time, to, those of us who are mature, it took us a long time to get where we are today.
Come on, preach
it. We wasn't like this when he first saved us. With little babes that had been cast off by the world. And he found us and washed us in the blood of Jesus. And then he put his spirit in us. And he began to teach us and to lead us and to guide us into places we never thought we'd be today. Amen?
Amen.
God did that.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
And he told Ezekiel, he said, "You remind them where I brought them from. And you remind them what I did for them. And you remind them that I'm the one that decides to stay with them. They don't decide to stay with me." Because they had left him. They were in the heathen land, and they were beginning to act like the heathen. They were in the heathen land, and they were bragging about how much better they were than that guy that worshipped the golden calf. But they were no better. They were taking on the same habits and things. But he said, "I'll never, never forsake thee." Now, I'm glad I'm under his protection. Now, I'm glad he didn't just find me, and I'm glad he didn't just wash me, and I'm glad he didn't just pick me up and put me on the straight and narrow. But I'm glad he walks with me.
Amen. Yeah.
He walks with me. Amen. He said, "You're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand." And he walks with us. And he says that we're ingrained in the palm of his hand. Now, people might look at us and say, "Boy, look what you have done." And we'll look back and say, "Except by the grace of God, I'd be the worst person you know."
Amen.
Except by the grace of God, you wouldn't even want to talk to me.
Amen.
God has guided me. God's got me this far. I didn't do this. Well, you must have went through a program. No, didn't go through a program. I put it in his hands.
Amen.
Now, if I die and go to hell, they'll have to air condition it because I'm trusting him and nothing Amen. Else. Amen?
Amen?
Well, you go to church. Yeah, I do because I love him. I want to know more about him. I want to fellowship with people like mine. Well, you got baptized. Yeah, I did because he told me I ought to get baptized because that represents my death, burial, and resurrection in him. And I got baptized. We identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. And they'll say, "Well, you take the Lord's Supper." Yeah, I take the Lord's Supper to remember what he did for me, to lift me up. Well, you quit doing this. You quit doing that. Yeah, I quit doing that because he made me quit doing that. He helped me. He put that in my heart that I would quit that. Well, now you're somebody. Well, I'm not anybody. What you see in me is him. Pitiful, biblically errant people who don't read the Bible much, they think that the fruits of the Spirit are our fruits. And Jesus said we ought to bear fruit. And he said if you don't bear fruit, then you ought to be like that tree that he cursed and said cut it down, throw it in the fire. If it's not going to produce any fruit, it's not any good. It was a fig tree. It produced figs. And apple trees produce apples. And pear trees produce pears. And Christians produce other Christians.
Amen.
We don't produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, and all those things that he talks about. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's God in you that does that. God's the one that gave you that attitude. God's the one that gave you that humility. God's the one that made you love people. God's the one that got you to turn away from all that other stuff and turn to him. God's the one that let you suffer and get through it. God's the one that let you love people when they don't love you. That's the Holy Ghost. That's God in you. That's not you. And Israel had begun to think it was all about them. It's not about us, folks. The modern church thinks that Christianity is all about them. And it's not. It's about the glory of God. That God would go out in that wilderness and find a deserted baby that nobody else wanted. Didn't nobody care about you.
Right.
Well, your mom and dad loved you. Limited love.
That's right. Come on. Yep.
Well, people tried to help you. A limited help. God saw what you really were, and God loved you anyway, and he found you when nobody else would look for you. Nobody else would have had pity on you. They'd have said, toughen up. He said, I'm going to lift you up. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now let me, look, we need to be warned about that. And I need to warn you like Ezekiel warned. He found us. He had mercy on us. He cleaned us. He picked us up. He covered us. Now you listen to me. We'll raise our children in the way they should go. We'll dress them right. You'll make your little girls come to church looking like little girls. You'll make your little boys come to church looking like little boys. You'll send them to school like that. And you'll clean them up and you'll keep them away from bad habits. Don't sit there and smoke a cigarette and look at them and say, if I ever catch you with a cigarette in your mouth, I'm going to whip you. That's a hypocrite. Don't sit there with a beer in your hand and say, you ain't old enough to drink yet. No, sir. You ain't old enough to cuss yet. No. We raise them right. We teach them right. We lead them right. We dress them right. We try to do right by them. But in the end, it's going to come down to one thing. Did they let God pick them up?
Come on now.
You see, we've got a whole generation of people that because we had it kind of tough, we have ruined our children, our grandchildren, and we keep picking them up.
Come on. Yeah.
You know, sometimes it don't hurt to look at your children and say, oh, well. Toughen up. Pay your own stinking light bill. Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
But in the end, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's going to take God. See, a lot of people told you what condition you was in. You didn't like it and you got mad at them, even though they cared about you. But God will interrupt your life. And he'll go out there wherever you are.
Thank you, Lord.
In that wilderness of sin. And he'll interrupt your stinking life and stop you and pick you up and wash you up and clean you up and establish you on the right path. And then he won't just leave you there like we would leave you there. We'd say, all right, we got you up. We got you going. Take off. God said, no, I'm going to go all the way with you, all the way there.
Amen.
Well, Peter, I quit smoking. Whoop-de-doo. You're going to live a lot longer. You'll smell a lot better. A lot of us did. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A lot of us quit smoking. We smelled, but we didn't know how bad we smelled. Until 5 or 10 years after we quit smoking, walked in somebody's house and went, whoa. And walked over to the wall and drug your finger across it and found out it was yellow with nicotine. Y'all remember those houses?
Yes.
You look at the curtains, you say, man, that's some good looking yellow curtains. They're white. Couldn't see through your car windows. So you say, oh, my car windows is fogged up. They ain't rub your finger across. That's nicotine. Well, I quit smoking. Well, hallelujah. What you better do is say, by the grace of God, I did whatever I did. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
He picked them up. He established her going forth. He put them under his protection. Now look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 in Ezekiel chapter 16.
He said, I clothe thee also with broidered work. You know what that is, ladies? You know what that is, don't you? Those nice clothes that's got embroidery on them, you know? He said, I clothe thee with embroidered work and shod thee with badger skin. Shod means on your feet. And I gird thee about with fine linen. And I covered thee with silk. And I decked thee also with ornaments. And I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thine raiment was fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom.
You know what he's saying? He said, man, I made you beautiful. I made you beautiful. I did all that for you. You wasn't nothing but an abandoned baby when I found you. Covered in your own blood, your own filth. Covered with dirt and filth and blood. And I'm the one that picked you up. And I'm the one that washed you. And I'm the one that cut that umbilical cord. And I'm the one that has fed you. And I'm the one that has clothed you. And I didn't just do it a little bit. I did it real good.
Come on now.
And you became beautiful. I don't know if anybody's ever called me beautiful. My wife's called me handsome. Y'all pray for my wife, she lies. Becky used to tell me things. She'd say, oh, you're the handsome daddy, daddy. I think your hair's growing back, daddy. Can I have $10? And I'd say, here's a $20. Bring me the change back. By the way, I'm still waiting on change. You know, the world, when they want something out of you, they'll sit in your lap. Ron, you got pretty hair. You got pretty hair. You got fine raiment. Look here. Look here. Brick mason, fine raiment. Look at him. Some of you ladies decked with gold and silver. He said, and I made you beautiful. I didn't just save you. I didn't just rescue you. I clothed you, and I didn't just clothe you, and I fed you, and I didn't just feed you. I fed you the best. I fed you dainties, little, I don't know what you call, little desserts, dainties, not finger food, no. He said flour and honey and oil, little sweet things. And then I covered you, and everybody looked at you and said, man, aren't they beautiful? And you forgot to tell them where all that beauty came from. Well, we'll be ashamed of ourselves. We'll be ashamed of ourselves that we forget where it all came from. Turn to Revelation, if you will, 21, verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I saw John, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the church. That's those in the body of Christ. Those who have been saved by the grace of God. Those who have been picked up, washed, sanctified, and finally one day going to be glorified and be made to look just like Him. We have no right to forget where our beauty came from. And by the way, The beauty of the Christian is the hidden man of the heart, New Testament says. He says, it's not with outward apparel or adorning. It's not with gold or silver. He said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Now don't get me wrong. There ain't nothing wrong with a little paint on the barn. It helps a lot of us. They got man makeup. Well, I don't know what to call it. They can't call it real man. But they have male makeup. And eyelash and eyebrow pencils and all that stuff. I don't think he's talking about that, do you? But there's nothing wrong with thanking God for giving you what you've got. He gave you those clothes you're wearing.
Right.
Well, I worked hard to get this. No, God gave you the strength to work hard to get that. God gave you a job that somebody else could have had. God gave you breath he could have took away from you. God gave you heartbeats he could have stopped. God gave you what you have. God beautified you.
Amen.
Some of us live in beautiful houses. And some, God's got a beautiful house waiting on you. And you know what? People come out to my house, and it's a country-style house. And I would tell more about where it's at, but we're on the internet, and I'm afraid people firebomb me. But, I mean, it's the house I dreamed of my whole life. It's not a big house, but to me, it's the most beautiful house in my neighborhood. And I don't have the best clothes in town, but I got good clothes, and to me, they're the best clothes in town.
Amen. Yep.
And my wife doesn't have a whole bunch of jewelry and all that stuff, but she's got jewelry and stuff. And to me, it's the best jewelry in town. But the most important thing we have is the hidden man of the heart, which is Jesus in our heart. Now, you don't have to be rich to be beautiful. And you are beautiful. Because you came from that beautiful thing right there. No. But you don't have to be rich to be beautiful. You know what beauty is? Beauty is what comes out of you, not what's on you.
Amen.
I've seen people that had money, had big houses, nice cars, and lots of clothes and jewelry and everything, and they open their mouth and ruin it.
Come on, man.
They're ugly. They're nasty, they're ugly, they're vile on the inside, and that's the real person, and you get to see it when they open their mouth.
Come on, man.
And then I've seen other people barely couldn't make it. You know, they struggle every week, and maybe they got a husband that don't work or a wife that uses up the money or children that abuse them, and they barely got anything in this old world, and they struggle to pay every bill, but yet they open their mouth and start talking, and Jesus in them comes out, and you say, my, what a beautiful person that is. He said, Ezekiel, I want you to remind them where I found them. I want you to remind them what I did for them. And I want you to remind them that I protect them. And I want you to remind them they're beautiful because I did that.
Amen.
And then, look at verse 14, Ezekiel 16. Now, you listen to me. Everybody, and I'll show it to you in just Ezekiel 16, look at verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, said Lord God. You know, they had a reputation for being beautiful. They had a reputation for being taken care of. They had a reputation that God was part of their life and God had brought them where they were. They had a reputation. We'd call it a testimony. And he said, I gave you a reputation among the heathen. I thought about that. What is the church's reputation today? What is the church's reputation today? They have fun. They can give you 7 steps to success. They can tell you how to make friends and influence people. You know what our reputation ought to be? God found us. God cleaned us up. God washed us.
God walks with us and talks with us. God guides us. God preserves us. God gives us our needs and sometimes more. God clothes us. God decorates us. And God is inside of us, beaming through us. That'll be our reputation as a church. Some of our churches today, their reputation is they have fun. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. No. Some of their reputations is they have a good time. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Matter of fact, most of the time when I read about church in the Bible, they're on their face, not on their hands. I mean on their feet, raising up their hands. They're on their face. Today's church reputation is they feed the hungry. They have soup kitchens. Today's church's reputation is they have clothes closets. And I'm not against feeding or clothing people. Today's church reputation is they're rich. They have lots of stuff. They have large facilities. Some of them have playgrounds worth hundreds of thousands of dollars for a playground. Some of them have family life centers where they have a fat club and a skinny club and a I feel down club and a basketball team and a bowling league and a softball team. That's their reputation. Whatever happened to the church where people say, boy, hey, I know about them people over there. God shows up over there. God saves people. God cleans up people. God supplies people's needs over there. God blesses people over there. You don't want to go over there unless you want God.
Amen. Come on.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Sometimes I'll go visit people and they'll say, what does your church have to offer our children? And what they really mean is entertainment. And I don't have any. Now, occasionally we might do a little trip or something. I'm not against that. I'm not against camp. Or I did that for 18 years. But I say this. Well, let me see. We've got Sunday school where they teach them the Bible. We've got preaching Sunday morning where they preach to. We've got preaching Sunday night where they preach to. And we've got Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday night where they learn the Word of God. What more you want for a child in church?
Amen.
Well, do you have a children's church? Yeah, but they're not going to show them a little movie in there. There's some churches, it ain't nothing but a babysitter. They're teaching them the Bible in there right now. Amen. Come on. Did you know Israel had a reputation? The heathen knew where the Israel came from. Israel had forgotten where they came from, but the heathen had not. I was going to preach a funeral in West Virginia, and I've told this story many times. I had the flu. I couldn't hardly go. My wife had to drive me up there. We stopped up there in West Virginia somewhere in a motel, and I walked in the front door, and you know, they had one of those karaoke bars down at the end. And I was checking in. I was so sick, and what I heard made me sicker. They had open mic night. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Where the drunks get to sing. And some guy done got the microphone and he was singing, just a closer walk with thee, precious Jesus. And I thought to myself, everybody in there hates that man's guts. They don't want him in there. He may be a child of God. Why else would he want to sing that song? But he's a long way from God. He's backslid. And everybody in there knows it. And they're all looking at him and say, get that guy out of here. Yeah. If he belongs to God, he don't belong in here.
That's right.
God's children have a reputation that God saved us. God picked us up. God washed us in his own blood and washed away ours. God protects us. God leads us. God supplies our every need. And he said, listen, Jesus said, you shall be called the sons of God.
Amen.
That should be our reputation. That on job, it shouldn't be he's a good old boy. It should be, man, that guy's a Christian. If every boy's a Christian, there's one. It should be, what, that gal's a saint. If there's ever been a Christian, that gal's a Christian. It ought to be down there at the schoolhouse. You can't tempt them to smoke no cigarette or get back behind the gym or do things wrong. That girl's a Christian. That boy's a Christian.
When I was growing up, we didn't go to church. I didn't have any friends really that went to church, or some every once in a while. But we go to school, and every day, 5 days a week, every day of school, they would read the Bible, and they got young people to go in there in school, especially in junior high school. They got young people to go in there and read the scriptures over the microphone and pray. The young people did it.
Amen. Yeah.
And then they came back in my room and they acted just like I did. I did not know. Now, that might have been, I don't know, but I did not know personally any child or teenager growing up that their testimony was that God saved them and God washed them and God cleaned them up and God established their going forth and God was providing their needs. The best testimony they had was mom and dad takes them to church. Look, young people, y'all listen to me. It ain't time to fix your eye. Look up here. Look up here. Hazel, slap those girls. Make them look up here. Or I'll come back there and do it for you. Let me do it. Mr. Monroe used to come here. He said, when I was growing up, we had a preacher who said he walked around with his Bible in his hand and he had a stick in his other hand with a big old knot on the end of it. And he'd preach up down those aisles. If young people got to cutting up, he'd reach that stick over and hit them in the head. Keep right on preaching. Never missed a lick. Boy, we need some more black preachers like that. Amen. We need some white preachers like that. Amen. Get me one of them sticks, brother. I'll do it. Get me one. I'll do it. But the reputation that they had amongst the heathen was that God knew them and they knew God.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm through. How were you when he found you?
Where were you in life when he found you? Where are you now because of him? And what is your reputation? If you're not saved, you know it. You cannot convince somebody to save when they're not. You say, well, they said a prayer. They know they said a prayer and they know they lied when they prayed just to get you off their back. I can't convince you of whether or not you're saved. Only you can do that. But I can tell you this. If you're not saved, I'd run to him today because he came down here looking for you.
Amen. Yeah.
He came down here looking for you. And you're in a mess and he wants to clean you up. Amen.
Come on now.
And then saint. I can't tell you how to live your life. I can preach the Bible. I'm not coming to your house to throw away magazines or change your TV channel or your radio or your music or throw into your closet. By the way, a lot of people ought to have their closet empty and restocked nowadays. I can't come down there and do that. I can just preach the truth. It's up to you to surrender to him and let him pick you up and change you.
Amen.
And you'd be a fool not to. The benefits so outweigh everything else. You need to surrender to him, Christian.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.